I'm not sure what the PNG version of the Von Trapp family is, but thank you again so much for serving us, guys. It's great to have you and to have you guys serve us. So great. I want to start with a question. What is your thing that you do in the evenings each week that you look forward to? So when you've had a long week in work, you get back, maybe it's a Wednesday night, you get back, or there's something in the week that you look forward to, that's unshakable, you know you want to do that each week, or something you look forward to in the evenings. Any people you like enjoy going to the gym? Yeah, a few people, yeah. Any people play any sport each week? Any specific? Yeah, a few sport, yeah. Any people, like, is a certain TV program that you watch each week? There's a few people as well there, yeah. Or maybe a hobby, or if you're a parent, maybe it's a kid's piano class or something like that, or maybe a glass of wine and a takeaway on a Friday night. I've started trying a new one. For the last 4 weeks, I've played golf once a week, so. My kind of reason is, because I'm bad, it means I walk more, and so I get fitter. That's kind of my reasoning. But there's always things in there that we kind of need, or we want, or when we've had a busy day, that's what we look to, that's what we kind of go for, what keeps us going in the week. And Matthew 6:21, this Bible verse says, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Like, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Because we're all busy, time is precious, but we do make time for the things we love, don't we? If we love something, we're going to make time for it, whether that's a person or an activity or doing something, we'll make time for it because we love it, because it's important, because we're going to protect it. It's been said before, but I said kids spell love T-I-M-E. Kids spell love T-I-M-E. You probably shouldn't tell them that, because that would really confuse them with spelling, but that's how they spell love, isn't it? It's time. Not necessarily objects or buying things. Time. You give kids time and you show them that's how much you love them. And so the question is, how much do we love church home groups? Like, how much do we love seeing each other outside of a Sunday? How much do we love going to someone else's house or opening our house and having people over our house or doing life together? Because since the start of the year, so since January, once a month we've been talking about these six devotions and about how, coming out of COVID, we want to be a devoted church. We want to be a church that's devoted to Jesus, to Christ, but also to one another. And we've said how we want to baptize believers to start people's journey of faith. We've said how we want communion, which we're going to be doing today, not just a solo act or something we do individually. We want to do it as a collective, to remember the unity and forgiveness that God has done for us, and make sure that we share that unity and forgiveness with each other. We've said how we want to reclaim Sundays in a generation, in a society that doesn't care about church, that doesn't care about this day or time being separate. And so today, we're going to be looking at homes or smaller groups. They all have different names. They have life groups, small groups, home groups, term groups. But basically, seeing each other outside of the Sunday gathering in our homes or in a smaller group, and how we want, as leaders, we want people to be devoted to these groups, to these almost family units, because we really believe that's where real discipleship happens, that's where we get to love one another better, that's massively pastorally caring. Lots of people, even right now, we've got more people with COVID than we ever have as a church. And so pastorally caring, if you're not a part of a group, you can go unnoticed, pastorally caring for one another, building friendship and family, laughing and just spending time with each other on these small scales. And all of these devotions come from Acts 2. We talk about body members, 1 Corinthians 12, but Acts 2. And if you've got your Bibles and you want to have a look, Acts 2, verse 41 to 47, these have been the verses that we've been looking at throughout it. But let me just read them again. Because every time you read them, you think, wow, like, did they really do that? Acts chapter 2, verses 41 to 47, it says this. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the numbers that day. And then verse 42 says, they devoted themselves. That's where this word has stood out to us. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. And check this out, how it broke out of just a once a week gathering, verse 44. And all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property. So some of them had homes, or maybe more than one home, or just their own home. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple court. So the large group gathering, they continued to meet there as well. They broke bread in their homes and ate together. Like they had food together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, what a church, isn't it? Like, that's our forefathers. That's the kind of the guys after Jesus who started this movement, this church that Jesus created. And what a start. Like, what a start that these people did. And what a move of the Spirit, isn't it, to cause that to happen. These guys, this wasn't even like a mandate in that sense. This was a move of the Spirit that touched these people's hearts. And that's how they lived out. That's what they did. Like, they didn't just invite people over the house. They sold their houses for the gathering, for the people, for this church. And I heard a quote the other day that sums up an Acts 2 believer. And it said, a Christian or a missionary, they were talking about, a Christian or a missionary is someone who sacrifices everything but the gospel for the sake of the gospel. So a Christian or a missionary is someone who sacrifices everything for the gospel, for the sake of the gospel. That's massive, that, isn't it? That's huge. But these Acts 2 people, you could say, fair play. If we look at our own lives, you're like, oh, I'm not sure about that. But like, if you look at the Acts 2, like, this is what they did. And that's how we want to be devoted. We want to be a devoted church, not in every way, but to use these guys and the work of the Spirit for us as in Thornhill Church today. And Jesus, who lived and loved that out, did a lot of ministry in homes, isn't he? If you read the Gospels, a lot of the times he did a lot of ministry in homes. And here's just some that, let me just read you some. John 1:14 says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. So God became a baby and dwelt among us. He made his home among us. Where he was in glory, he came to do life and make a home with us. Then Luke 2, verse 7, from the birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Look how contradictory there was that. Jesus comes to make his dwelling among people, and then they say, actually, we haven't got any room. Like, we haven't got room for you. Like, what room in our homes? And Luke 19, I was reading this last week about the Zacchaeus story. And I don't know about you, but I always thought Jesus went to Zacchaeus' house for tea because for the kids' song. I'm not going to sing it, but the kids' song. But check out these, verse 19. When Jesus reached the spot, he was walking through Jericho. he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. Like, Jesus, I'm going to come and, Zacchaeus, I'm going to come and sleep over your house tonight. Like, I need a place to come and stay. I need a place, not just to come over for tea, like, I'm going to be the guest in your house. And John 14, 2, it talks about, again, about eternal house. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? So Jesus is talking about the temporary, about doing ministry in homes. But then again, him dwelling, making his dwelling among us, he says, in his Father's house, there's many rooms. Like, we're gonna go there. I want to prepare a place for people on this temporary life to live with me in eternity in my home. And then Joshua 24, verse 15, a challenging verse. I was just going to add the last part, but look at the first part. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose yourselves this day whom you will serve. So, like, oh, like, guys, if you don't want to do this, if you don't want to serve the Lord this way, choose which way, who you're going to serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Like, you don't have to do this. Like, you don't have to do that. You don't have to go along with this. But if it seems undesirable to you, then that's up to you. But as for me and my household, we are going to serve the Lord. And as leaders, we believe, if you want to call them home groups, we want them to be just as important as our Sunday gathering, to be devoted to the Sunday gathering. Because we need, as individuals, don't we? We need our daily bread, so our walk with Jesus, our individual walk and quiet times. We need our Sunday gatherings where we all come together, where we all worship like they did in the temple courts. But also we need smaller groups. Like, we need smaller groups to follow Jesus, to be disciples. And then we all need like one or two people to speak into our lives, don't we? We all need that one-on-one or another two to speak into our lives, which often comes out of these smaller groups. And that's what Jesus did. Like, home groups isn't just something that started in the 80s. Like, Jesus did this. He modeled this. Think about it. When he was speaking to the thousands on the mountains or in the synagogues, that would have been believers, some of his disciples. That would have been people who never know him or would never heard him before. And so Jesus spoke to the large crowds, isn't he? He spoke to the large gatherings. But also then he picked 12. Like, that's why the small groups, that 12 is the ideal number. He picked 12. Like, he ministered with 12. He spent time with 12. He really input in 12. Like, that's where the group really formed, and then they spent a lot of time together. But also, when we read our the Gospels, often you hear of Peter, James, and John. Like, Peter, James, and John. And so you had these large group gatherings where you would speak to people. Then he split them off in the 70, he split them off, and he focused on 12. But then he also, there was times where he just focused on two or three, Peter, James, and John, and influenced these. And I just want to, I'm aware this is, there's a lot of writing on this one, but I just want to show you, like, the importance of each of us following Jesus. Like, what do we, if you think of, like, a healthy diet, what do you need in a healthy diet? Like, what things do you need in following Jesus, in being a disciple today in the 21st century? What do we need? How do we want to love him? And what do we need? What's a healthy Christian look like? What does someone who follows Jesus looks like? And to be honest, the list could have carried on, and there was things I missed out, like evangelism and mission, but the list started getting too big, basically. But there's 16... things on you, hopefully you can see. And so this is about being his church, being a follower of Jesus, being a disciple today, for someone to be walking with Jesus in a healthy way. And I just want to show you where some of there will be a bit of transfer, or some elements you'll be able to do in different aspects. But predominantly, I want to show you where I think these fall, whether it's yourself, a Sunday gathering, a small group, or two and threes. And so just to start off with yourself, some people say, oh, I'm a Christian, but I don't need to go to church, or I don't need to do that, or I'm okay myself, or I'm okay just online. And so what can you do by yourself? Like for me, it's just the daily bread. Like we all need the daily bread, don't we? We all need to walk with Jesus and follow him and have our quiet times. But we weren't created to be on our own. We weren't created to be church by ourselves or to be okay with that or to carry on. So if someone says, oh no, just leave it with me. Like either you don't understand the gospel or you're dying or dead because you weren't created to do that. You weren't created to love Jesus in this way. But what about Sundays? So I'd say on Sunday, the main things out of these things that we can do, like we can sing, worship, teaching, and so monologues, so one person speaking with that, where Jesus often did, and that's what we believe is important to have teaching with us. The temple courts, it talks about in Acts, and so this large group gathering, we're not saying we want to get rid of it, we're saying this is important, the large group gathering. Communion. The reason we do communion together on a Sunday and not small groups is because we want to bring everyone together. We want to say this is our family. Serving, again, serving us can go into other areas, but lots of serving goes on a Sunday. Giving finance and the things that we support financially, we do that on a Sunday. And baptism. Yeah, we've all got baths in our house, but we've got a pool here where we want to baptize people together. We want to welcome people together. And so we can do a lot of things on a Sunday, can't we? We can. But there's still so much that you don't get out of a Sunday. There's still so much that you need more to be a healthy Christian, to be a true disciple of Jesus today. Also back then, but even today. Sunday, for me, a lot of times, Sunday is small talk, isn't it? If we're honest, especially with four kids, because I'll be talking to you, one of them will be pulling my leg or do that. And so Sundays, we want to spend time, and it's great and it's important, but we need more time together, don't we? We need more time together. And so home groups, like if you're looking for real fellowship, like being a part of a small group, that's where it happens, isn't it? Being a part of a small group, that's where you're going to grow in friendship, just in discipleship. That's where you're going to really grow prayer. Yes, we pray on Sundays, but and we get to pray a little bit for one another, but prayer, that's where we pray for one another. That's where we share with one another. That's where we not just pray over scripture, but also pray into our situations. That's where it happens. Bible study, often with the disciples, Jesus did the monologue, he preached, and then the disciples were like, Jesus, I haven't got a clue what you just said. Like, what does that mean? Or, I didn't understand that. And we all need that, don't we? We need that. Or, what does that mean? Or, that was said on Sunday. And we need that. We need the dialogue. We need the monologue, but also we need the dialogue to speak. Homes, and so you've got a large group gathering, but also the homes, inviting people into the homes. We need that, don't we? We need to invite people into our homes to have this small group gathering, and also pastoral care. That's where it happens. That is where it happens when you're part of a group and people know you, people understand you. If Sunday is the only time you're here, you're going to get lost, like you are. And pastorally is too much in that sense. You're going to get lost. You need to be a part of a group where they will look after you and you will also look after them. And that those things don't happen on a Sunday. And then also twos or threes. I meet up with a guy every week who's another pastor. And so I do all these things, but also the twos or threes is really important for me. It's that accountability. Like it's that Sunday, it's that small group. You can talk about things, but sometimes you need that one person, don't you, to meet up with coffee and say like, oh, so how are you really doing? Or you shared that in group this week, like, Can we talk a bit more about that? Or can we have that? And my prayer is that everyone in this church has one or two people who we can all speak to, who we can all say, look, I need prayer, or can I meet up with you, or I'm struggling, or I want to encourage you. And we need accountability of them. We need discipline or correction. If we're doing things in our lives Do we need people to say, hey, look, you need to stop there? Or like, look, that isn't right. That is only going to be bad for you. We need to allow people to speak into our lives, don't we? And say, and also encouragement. We need that encouragement of like, yeah, you're struggling, or yeah, this has happened, but like, I'm going to stand with you. I'm going to stand with you on this. And so that's, for me, why home groups, being a part of a small group, is so important and so vital, because you can't do everything else in other aspects. Like, we all need that. And if we want to be a follower of Jesus, if we want to follow him, then we need to devote to this. And that's why, as leaders, we feel strongly about it. But enough of me talking. I'm going to actually invite now some of the home group leaders to come and share a little bit about what they did last term, or just a little bit about their group, and then what they're going to be doing this term. And as you can see, we use Church Suite, and that's one way we can sign up for it. But we want our home groups to be in Thornhill, because we want to be devoted to Thornhill as well, don't we? It's great, isn't it, when loads of people come to your house on a Monday, my neighbour's like, oh, why are all those women to come into your group, to your house on a Monday? Why do you leave every time? I'm like, oh, because they make too much noise. But no, like, we want to be able to say to our neighbours and be like, oh, no, like, this is us having our church family over. Like, we want to involve them and show them that's important. And so, and also to love Thornhill and to be devoted to Thornhill. And so this term, starting this week, also you've got the kids and the youth, we've got 7 groups that we can all sign up to, where they sign up through Church Suite, or in your new leaflets, it's got a photo of the different people to show where they are, or just speak to them, you know them. And whether you stick to the same group or do a different group, that's absolutely fine. But I'm just going to invite some of these group leaders to come and say a bit about themselves. So if you guys, whoever's in the group, if you want to come and sit down the front for a second, then you can take it in turns. But we'll do ladies first. Ivy, you can go first.
Good morning, church. So that's the ladies group up there, top left. And we meet every Monday. Tomorrow is a bank holiday, so we'll start next Monday, 9th of May. So meet every Monday at 7:30 in the evening at the Hopkins. So we usually start at 7:30, have a bit of chit-chat, fun and fellowship, until around 8 o'clock. So we spend between 8 and 9 having the study, and then we have a bit of sharing and praying, and then go back to chit-chat and fun until Mark drives us out of the house. So we started last September barely knowing each other. We've gone from that to being able to share and pray with each other without fear of being judged. We've had lots of fun, lots of fellowship, and occasional tears. But during the study of Romans, I think it was Romans 1:11, we were discussing one of these evenings, and the topic of spiritual gifts came up. And we were really intrigued by that. And so we'll spend the next several Mondays discovering our spiritual gifts and how we can use them to serve the church to the glory of God. So I'll be happy if any ladies here would like to join us. We've got a WhatsApp group, and if you would like to join us this term, we'll study spiritual gifts based on this book. It's The Network Course, and I'm told we did that as a church some years ago. So we're really very excited about that and looking forward to what God has in store for us in the next few weeks. If you'd like to know more about the group, you can speak to me or Jokan or Becky. I'll be serving refreshments today, so I'll be there while you come to grab your cuppa. We can have a chat. And if you're part of the Monday night crew, could you please wave so that others will see who we are? So that will give you an idea of the kind of fun we have there. So Thank you very much. So we look forward to having more ladies join us this term. Thank you.
Hi there, I'm Jonathan. I represent the Men's Fellowship Group. Well, we meet, as you can see on the front, on a Thursday, 7:30 in the Pendragon Pub, which is a great place to meet. So we can have a drink, we can have a socialise between 7:30 and 8 o'clock when we will start the Bible study. We're using the community Bible study format, which means you get to know what the passage is, you get to know what the questions are beforehand, so you come ready and prepared to contribute. And then after that, we'll pray with each other. And it's a great place to have socials, because we just have a meal together, which we've done on a few occasions, which has been great to get to know people. And we also have time to pray for each other. Okay? So if you're interested and you're a man, come and see me or come and see Keith, 7:30 Pendragon. It's great.
Good morning. I represent the Bible study that is held here on a Wednesday morning between the hours of 10 and 11:30, although we can go over a bit longer, you know, with the chit-chat that we tend to do. We start off with, you know, a little chit-chat, and then we pray, and then we do our study. In this term, and for the last few terms, we are in the Book of Acts. And as you know, it's a very long gospel to take in. And as our members tend to be of a certain age, shall we say over 40, then we take it a little slower. So I think everybody can then understand and partake and give their questions and whatever needs be. So we have a lovely time of fellowship. We also go to have meals out. Like last Christmas, we joined up with the Monday Meeting Point group, and we had our Christmas lunch. It was, I think you'll agree with me, Val, it was a terrific time. A great fellowship, and yes, we sort of talk and look after each other and look out for each other. So we do have a really good time, and we've now got a new venue. We are upstairs in one of the offices there, and you know, so that's made it a bit better, I think. And now the church cafe is now open for the lounge there for people to come in and use it, and we are seeing a real good uptake there. So praise God for what he's doing, and you know, feel free to come along. We'd love to have you, the more the merrier, as they say. So hope to see you there. Okay. Bye. Thank you.
Hi everyone. For those that don't know me, my name's Anthony and I'm here to talk about the Alpha course. It's slightly different to the other groups because we haven't been running last term. But for those that don't know what Alpha is, it's a series of weekly sessions starting this Tuesday. And it's a chance to basically ask some of the big questions in life, like how do we find peace in this world? What's the meaning of life? Or what happens when we die? So it's a chance to ask those questions with similar people in a really warm, friendly environment. And we start off with some tea and cake. There's a short video which provides the sort of the meat for the discussion. And then you get to speak with one another and ask these questions and just talk, really. So it starts this Tuesday at 7:30 here at the church. If you are interested in doing that, please do sign up or come and see me or Math at the end. Or if you think you know someone that would really benefit from the course equally, please do let us know. Just to say a big thank you to everyone who's been praying for this course. It looks like we've got a good number that have signed up, and I think we're seeing the fruits of our prayers. So please continue to pray for this ministry, and continue to pray for those people that you had in mind that you'd like to see come to faith. And finally, if anyone's interested in baking cakes, there can never be enough cake on Alpha. So if anyone's interested in baking a cake for one of the sessions, again, just drop me a text or let me know. That would be much appreciated. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. I'm part of the group that meets here on a Monday evening. Now, the title this morning is Homes, and I'm aware that we meet here in the church centre, but it's like a home. It's very friendly, it's a good close fellowship, and there's about 20 of us in our group, so last term we met here in the centre. Let me talk you through what the format of our evenings is like. We come together sort of 7:30 to 8 for a time of refreshment, for cake and a cup of tea and coffee together. And we just spend time like families do, talking and chatting to one another, enjoying fellowship. Then we come actually into this room, all of us in one group for the first part, and somebody says a prayer, somebody reads the Bible passage, we sing a song together, and then one of the leaders kind of gives an overview of the passage that we're studying. We then split up into smaller groups. So last term there was 3 groups with 6 to 7 people in each. And it's a really nice environment, I think, where people are free to raise any questions they have, share their opinions or questions about any topic that we're looking at. And the leaders obviously have a study to guide us through. We then come back to, we also spend time in prayer in our small groups. And then we come back together about 9:15 to finish and to share a final prayer together. In the last term, we followed the Roman series, and I think we really enjoyed it, got a lot out of it. Particularly enjoyed perhaps looking at some of the challenging parts of Scripture, the parts that aren't straightforward to us. And I think you gain such a huge amount, don't you, by studying the Bible with other people and learning from each other. Looking forward to this coming term, we're hoping to start a little bit earlier. So we're looking at refreshments around 7:30 to 8. So we try and finish around 9. And we're making a slightly controversial change. We're thinking of not having cake, but having fruit instead. Now, that's the healthy option. I don't know if it's going to fly and if people will be happy or not, but that's what we're looking at. It may mean more people can make cake for Alpha, so it might all work out okay. But we're still going to have our time of refreshment, and then we're going to be looking at the book of Acts, particularly doing character studies in the book of Acts. When you look at the early church and the passage Matt read earlier, you saw a group of people boldly declaring the good news about Jesus and filled with the Holy Spirit and the church growing. Wouldn't we want to be part of that? So we're going to be looking at people like Stephen and Barnabas and Philip, who we might feel we know quite well, but also Lydia, Cornelius, Priscilla and Aquila, these sorts of characters. We may feel we know plenty about them already, but I always find God's got new things to teach you when you study together. So I'm looking forward to our studies this coming term. So if you want to know more, please speak to Liz or Jackie or myself or Kez. We'll be more than happy to talk to you. Because it's a bank holiday, we're starting formally a week tomorrow, but I think there's a social at Liz's house tomorrow. So if you're interested, speak to Liz this morning. Thank you.
Hi. We meet, Community Bible Study meets on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, between 10 and 11:30. And on average, we're about 18 of us, and we don't all meet at church. Some of us meet as church, some of us meet on Zoom because of distance, a lot of the reasons for that. Because some who used to be in Thornhill Church have now moved away, and so they join us on Zoom. So we're currently studying the book of Revelation, and what I love about Community Bible Study, and I'm sure Keith's group feel the same, is the 4 ways that we study the Bible. So we study the questions at home through the week, just ourselves, and asking the Lord to enlighten us regarding the verses that we're looking at. And then we come together on a Saturday morning, and we share the answers with the group and discuss together. It's a lovely way that CBS lay out the studies. in that you can be studying each day. They give you a few questions for each day of the week. So you're studying through the week and then you bring all of that together to share together. We have a time of prayer during the session as well. And then we have a short summary of the lesson. So that's the third way. And then the fourth way is that CBS provide a commentary that we can read at home afterwards. Our next study is on Saturday the 14th. So we're not meeting on the first Saturday of the month. And the rest of the term, we've been studying Revelation, but the rest of the term we'll be continuing to study because we've got seven more studies in the book to go. So anyone is welcome to join us, and to I have a few study guides left if anybody would like to have one or just have a look at it. You'll be more than welcome to join us, and you know, just the culmination of Revelation, isn't it? Come, Lord Jesus. And there's a tiny little commentary, actually, that's very good on Revelation, and the title is The Lamb Wins.
Great. Isn't that great? I thought I was just going to keep on going there the whole way time. And actually, one of the groups, the young adults group, are actually away this weekend for a weekend away from their home group. And so it shows, doesn't it, just like how they've bonded together and built friendship together. And actually, they've gone away for a weekend. So that's why they're not here today. And it would be interesting to see if the Monday group now diminish because of the cake, or if an alpha grows, we'll only find out with that. But yeah, going into this term, that verse, like, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Like, where's our hearts at? As the weather gets better, we're like on the DIY or going for walks or like the gym and sport and these things, like, where's our hearts at? Like, will we devote to a group this term? Will we say, yeah, I want to walk with these people. I want to be discipled. I want to be influenced. I want to pray for these people. I want to go deeper with these people. I want to walk with Jesus and these people. Because these leaders and us leaders, we want to be devoted to the people who want to be devoted to us. And so that's why we want to give opportunity in the variety of the different groups and times. Because we're all busy, we've all got things on, and so that's why we've done it this way, so we can say, yeah, I can be a part of that group, or I can walk with these people this year, this term. John 13:34 says, "A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." And devoting to a small group is another way of loving one another, isn't it? It's saying, look, you're important. I'm going to prioritize this. I want to listen to you. I want to pray for you. And also, I want to be present with you, and for you to listen to me, and for you to look after me, and for you to pray with me, and to open our hearts to those people. We're going to take communion together this morning, and we're going to show a video called Remembrance by Matt Redman. And as we remember Jesus, who paid his life and blood for us to become children of God, he left glory, like we heard, he left glory to dwell with us. And so is there room in our hearts today? Is there room in our homes to invite Jesus in? And as we take communion together, let's take it to devote, to redevote ourselves to Jesus, but also we're doing it together. We're saying, this isn't just about me and Jesus, this is about me and his church, about devoting to one another who he gave. And 1 Corinthians 11 says this, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. We're going to place this table with the bread and the juice in the middle of the room. And as we watch this video in your own time, then come up and take some as we take it together. And then also we're going to have one final song to finish off after that. So we move the table now and we'll watch the video.